Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio, Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. We've got an election coming up in Ontario on June 2nd, and we're going to break down today the responses and some of the agricultural priorities from the major parties. Joining me to do this is Brendan Burney. He is the chair at the Grain Farmers of Ontario, also farms down in the deep southwest corner as well. Hey, Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this program. We're going to break down the Grain Farmers of Ontario. They've got six priorities that we're going to ask the candidates about. This election, agriculture really, really does play, I think, a role because there's so much attention right now on food and global supply chains. All of that really, really factors into us as farmers.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world and a lot that people are seeing right at home on their own dinner tables. So it's certainly a priority for us, and we feel that it is a priority in this upcoming election.
Okay, so let's hop right into it. Let's get into priority number one, which is all about addressing supply chain challenges and escalating costs of crop inputs. Brendan, any farmer in Ontario that's watching this, this is something that has been on their mind very, very much for over 12 months.
Yeah, we started seeing some of these supply chain disruptions as we were coming through COVID, and they've kind of escalated to where, I guess if you named an input on the farm side, it's probably went up in cost. And sometimes we can weather that where it's maybe one or two items and you can kind of offset them. But this last year has been really bad. You see the fuel costs, as anybody would see when they're going to the pump, but that's also escalated on the diesel side in the last little bit. We're seeing that with the fertilizer issue on the farms, where just getting the product to farmers has been a struggle. And we need the government to kind of work with us to maybe build a little more resilience into that supply chain.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's creating uneasiness for farmers is the fact that we have some unknowns in terms of where these cost escalations related to the supply chain crisis, where the end is. And obviously a lot of farmers in the early part of the 22 crop here trying to get the crop off to a really good start, get planting rolling and, you know, take care of that in crop weed control. But as they look out on the horizon, there's a lot of unknowns, and that uneasiness does create some stress.
Yeah, there certainly is some stress on the farm as well as in that supply chain. We're seeing where ordinarily you could probably get some trucking done at a reasonable cost, even move grain. And now that we're seeing there's a lot less truck drivers available. We're looking at all these different escalations. Even on farm, you have a breakdown and you think, okay, so how long is it going to take for me to get that part? Because it's not a quick turnaround like it used to be. That just-in-time system is not necessarily working at peak levels. So it's been a struggle just to make sure that everything is on the farm that the farmers need going into the planting season.
Brendan, on some of these supply chain challenges, what is the Grain Farmers of Ontario asking for? Because some of this is federal jurisdiction, but we're talking about provincial politics here. So where does the province sit on it?
I think at times you're just looking for the province to back you up and be kind of a spokesperson on that federal side. And right now we're seeing the tariffs that are not being sorted out, I guess, by the government and the supply side. So they're being passed down to the farmer. So we're looking to make sure that going forward, that's not the case. Hopefully able to source in other locations and not have that tariff present itself. But the cost escalation is there as well. So we just want to make sure that whoever does govern in Ontario speaks to the federal government and has kind of the backs of the farmers, or at least has them in mind in some of these conversations.
Okay, let's find out what the parties had to say. Let's get to priority number one. How will you support farmers as they have increased input prices and supply chain challenges?
Yeah, you know, between the pandemic and Putin's just awful and unfortunate invasion of Ukraine has created huge supply chain disruptions. And we have to be more self-sufficient in Ontario in terms of making sure that we have the capacity to, you know, produce our own inputs for farmers. And we also have to make sure that we have self-sufficiency in our farm-to-consumer supply chains as well, just in terms of our own food security, from a production standpoint and from a distribution-to-market standpoint. And so, you know, Ontario Greens, we're committed to making the investments and putting the policy framework in place to ensure that we have secure supply chains throughout the entire value chain.
Is, in your mind, is there a pathway for more of that fertilizer production to happen here domestically in Canada or specifically Ontario?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the Sarnia Lambton area has a lot of expertise in chemical processing that we can better utilize and ensure that we have more capacity for inputs. Also, I think there's some huge opportunities around just looking at how do we better utilize natural inputs as well, and have made in Ontario solutions to ensure that we avoid these kinds of supply chain disruptions in the future.
I want to say, first of all, that we really appreciate the hardworking farmers in Ontario and understand how challenging things have become, particularly with COVID and the supply chain disruptions. And I want to say that I know you're doing the right thing and being very thoughtful about particularly where some of the fertilizer is coming from and how it is that kind of global issues, if you will, are impacting you here locally in Ontario. And I want to assure you that you will have a friend in New Democrats always, whether we're in government or not. And certainly the last number of years, we've done everything we can and have supported your work and listened to the challenges that you bring to the table. There's just no doubt that you will have a partner in us as well, should we have the honor of governing in our province, finding the solutions to things like access to different suppliers for fertilizer, making sure that that we strengthen the integrity of the supply chains and make sure that we're supporting the everything we can to make you successful and to continue to grow the footprint of grain farmers here in this province. I know I come from a city where we see lots of traffic on the ships in our harbor and lots of grain going through those ships. We have some processing, of course, as you probably know, in my city as well, and it creates great jobs. It creates great jobs and really fuels, no pun, our Ontario economy. John, I don't know if there's something that you wanted to add.
Sure. I think there's specifically, there's two things that we need to address. And this is an unprecedented time. And the crisis is a crisis in the fertilizer supply. We will work with the federal government and grain farmers, at all farmers, to ensure that we can do everything we can to access the supply, knowing what the international crisis we're dealing with. That's a short-term issue. Long-term, I think we now realize with this supply chain issue and many others that we have to look longer-term at looking how we can supply basically in-house. I was at the March Classic listening to Sonny Perdue talking about phosphate from Florida. There is phosphate in Ontario, in capsaicin, actually. And there is also technology where we could make our own nitrogen fertilizer and over the long term, make sure it's competitive, because as we now see, just going for always the cheapest overseas, sometimes you're going to get caught. We have to look at building our domestic industry. Thanks.
Okay. So, like I said to Brandon, that this could be totally devastating to Ontario agriculture. And the Liberal government does recognize the problem. And if elected, would address the supply chain challenges on fertilizer supply. The Liberal government would work with grain farmers of Ontario and all Ontario agriculture towards finding a new fertilizer source in the future. We know the value of agriculture in the community in Ontario here, as well as the protection of our food security for people in Ontario.
Does that possibly include fertilizer sources inside the province? Like, could there be maybe a refocus on domestic production?
Well, I think that's open for discussion. I mean, and that's the Liberal Party is definitely open for discussion. We want things to work. It has to work for Ontario grain farmers, and it's that simple.
Well, I want to share with you that the PC Party of Ontario, through the leadership of Premier Ford, has proven that we've got a record in having farmers' backs, not only in Huron Bruce, where I'm calling in from today, but across the entire province. And, you know, we recognize that we need to be hand in glove and listening to grain farmers when it comes to the pressures and escalating costs of crops with regards to input. And we're working really, really hard to advocate and communicate with the federal government to ensure that they understand that we need stability and reliability when it comes to policies to support Ontario farmers. And so to that end, we've worked with the federal government, if you will, to extend the deadline for production insurance to May 16th, so just a couple of days ago. And we've also added the pedigreed seed coverage to the program to cover soybeans, spring wheat, rye, barley, and all the fescues. Because again, we recognize and appreciate that we need that security, that stability, if you will. And to expand on that further, we've also worked with the federal government to extend AgSTEP, the Egg Stability Enrollment, to June 30th, because we recognize with the fluctuations and the realities on the ground, we needed to make sure that farmers had an opportunity to really assess where they're at on the ground, on their farm, and they needed time. And so that's why I was very pleased to have the federal government agree with Ontario to extend the egg stability enrollment to June 30th. And another thing that I'm really pleased about is that it is our government, the PC government of Ontario, that increased the provincial compensation rate to 80% when the federal government, the federal Liberals, would not step up. And it's because we were listening. Just 2 days before the writ dropped for the provincial election, I was in Ottawa and I was talking very, very directly with the minister, federal minister of agriculture and food. And I was telling Minister Bibeau that Ontario farmers and farmers across Canada need to have certainty when it comes to not only access to fertilizer, but to the cost of the input as well. And we collectively, as provincial agriculture ministers, are going to continue to press the federal government to realize that in order to achieve food security, we need access to reasonably priced inputs like fertilizer. And the situation and the reality on the ground that we have in Ontario right now certainly has drawn the attention to the need for recognizing what is it we can do right here at home. We need to be opening the doors and working better with our Western colleagues to ensure that, you know, we're all utilizing the natural resources that we have right here at home in Canada and in Ontario to explore the opportunities to reduce the dependencies on jurisdictions on the other side of the world. And with that said, when you hear very astute, smart people talking about the opportunities to process fertilizer right here at home in Ontario with resources that we have at hand, we need to do everything as a government to open the door to keep that evolution and that mindset growing, that we have opportunities right here at home in the province of Ontario and in Canada to reduce the reliance on other jurisdictions. And it's the PC Party of Ontario that is going to keep driving forward hand in hand with our farm organizations and commodity groups in this province to ensure that, again, farmers have security in terms of accessing the inputs that they need at a fair cost. And that's going to go a long way in addressing the food security and the stabilization of a supply chain that can be realized in Ontario.
Well, now that we've heard from the parties on the supply chain challenges, rising input prices, I think it makes sense to move into the area of risk management. And another one of the priorities of the Grain Farmers of Ontario is asking for an additional $100 million commitment to RMP, Brennan.
Yeah, that's the thing is we're looking at having that backstop for farmers so that when they do go to plant their crop, as you would know, we've got a whole lot to happen between now and harvest that has to go right. And you could have some of those issues where whether it is rain related or drought that could affect crops. We just want to make sure that there's a backstop there in place. And essentially, this is just echoing the ask that we had last provincial election. We were asking for 150 million. The existing provincial government did kick in 50. So we're just looking for that $100 million top up. And I think it's probably important to note that it isn't just for grains. That would serve the pork, beef, horticulture, and also us on the grain side.
If farmers here, not looking for a handout, looking for tools and the ability to manage the risk so that they're not experiencing all of the downside when this volatility does occur.
Yeah, exactly right. And where I'm at, like I'm close to the U.S., so we kind of see the support system that's in place on the U.S. side, and we know that grain kind of flows back and forth from our borders. So we just want to make sure that that we're looking at this from a food security aspect as well, having the farmers be able to continue to work on their businesses, continue to grow food. And at the end of the day, what we look at is for every dollar that's invested in, it actually kicks out $2.25. For Ontario. So it's not a loss in terms of that. It's kind of a backstop and actually helps the economy.
Okay, let's hear what the parties had to say. In regards to priority number two on additional funding of RMP, does your party see the significance of risk management programs as a vital tool for keeping Ontario grain farmers competitive in things like control of rising input costs and the ability to manage risk? For this priority, there is a follow-up question. Recognizing the importance of the RMP for Ontario's grain farmers, will your party commit to an increase to RMP of $100 million?
Yeah, I want to start my response by saying past action is indicative of future action. And I want to remind everyone listening and watching that the previous Liberal government capped the risk management program. And it was the Ontario PC Party that actually understood and listened and worked with our commodity organizations to move forward, increasing the risk management program by 50 million 1 year ahead of schedule. And the other thing that the PC Party of Ontario did in a very proactive way was create the opportunity to allow unused funds to roll over, which means that if a portion of the fund isn't used in 1 year, it rolls over and it's available in subsequent years. And that means that pot of security, if you will be able to grow, and that money will be available to help, in this case, specifically grain farmers of Ontario when they need it. So we have demonstrated that we understand that Ontario farmers need stability and they need reliability. And our actions are proving that we get it and that we continue to have your back in that regard. In terms of looking ahead, grain farmers of Ontario, you know how valuable your commodity and your sector is to the Premier and to myself and our entire PC party. And because of that, we want post June 2nd to get back to the table and to continue to work with you to make sure that we have viable support that is reasonable and generates that stability that you're requiring and that you're asking for. So I can tell you with absolute certainty that you have a commitment from the Ontario PC Party, from Doug Ford, myself, and our entire team, that we will continue to talk and will continue to be proactive and move forward in ensuring that Ontario farmers have a risk management program that they can be confident in and they can be proud in as well.
This is big business. And the risk management program is a great program. It has been out for quite a few years already. And it needs to be another injection of money. You know, you can see car industries and automotive industry and whatever else being well fed with some money. Agriculture has always taken a second seat as far as I'm concerned, and I think we need to pull up our socks and actually inject some more money into this, especially the risk management program. I mean, it's a program that's in partnership with producers, and that's what the government likes, and that's what I like to see as well.
So it sounds like you're in very strong support of this $100 million ask.
Well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we need this. Like I said before, that we need to increase our programs and make the programs work for the producers. And the $100 million it would definitely help. And there was an injection of $50 million here not too long ago. But seeing the way things are gone around the world, we definitely need another injection in this.
Oh, absolutely. The risk management program is extremely important. And for a number of elections now, we've made the commitment to take the cap off and ensure that risk management is something that can be relied upon and not be artificially capped. I think the ask was 100 million. I know that the current government made a bit of an increase and then froze or recapped in this last budget. And we need to be thoughtful about how important the program is. And when you look at, and you've mentioned it a couple of times now, how volatile things are right now, the costs of everything, the input costs going up and the reliability of the supply chain keep causing, headaches and problems. Now is exactly the time we need to recommit to the risk management program. And John, well, I was reading my notes and it didn't indicate in my notes where we were in the amount of dollars in our last commitment. Do you have that number off the top of your head?
Yes, I can comfortably say that in our last election platform, we would have already been much higher than what GFO is asking for right now. And that commitment is staying the same for this one. So the 100 million is well within our sights. I'd just like to add that the business risk management program, when it was created by commodity groups and the government. It was created to be predictable and bankable. And as soon as the cap was put on, it was neither. And that program without a cap does not function. And we will, within the 4 years, totally have the cap removed.
Yeah, I can tell you, somebody who grew up on a grain farm, I understand the volatility in the marketplace and the fact that because of the global nature of our food supply chains, that farmers are oftentimes price takers and have to compete in that kind of environment. And so having solid business risk management programs in place, I think is vital to protecting family farms. And so we've been strong supporters of increasing funding for business risk management and expanding business risk management to cover more farm products so that, farmers can compete and know that their government has their back.
So recognizing the importance of RMP for Ontario's grain farmers, will your party commit to an increase to RMP of $100 million?
Yes, we've committed to that in the past and we'll continue to commit to increasing the RMP.
Let's get to topic number three, which is all about providing relief potentially on carbon pricing for grain drying. This is one that is really no stranger as a topic to grain farmers across Ontario. Brennan, what is the grain farmers of Ontario looking for in this case?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where we're looking for somebody to advocate as well on our behalf on the provincial side to the federal government to basically point out that as of right now, there really isn't an alternative that's as reliable as natural gas or propane, and that the price that's being paid, it's unsustainable and it's money that leaves the Ontario economy and heads elsewhere. So we look at it where we started at $20 a ton. We're now at 50. By 2030, we're looking at 170 a ton. So I guess basically in 8 years, you'd be adding $30 an acre just to dry your corn. And it's an unpredictable way to do business because when you're pulling into that field, we really don't know how much we're going to need to be able to dry the crop until we get started. And some of the solutions that are presented just really don't work on farm.
That is a lot of money, no matter how you try to piece that out. And I think one of the things that really, what I hear all the time from farmers is there's, when it comes to grain drying, there's not really other alternatives. It's not like like a light duty car where you can switch from gasoline power to an EV. That's just that kind of switch is just not available in this case. So farmers have to incur this cost.
Yeah, and it's a mechanism that's worked. So it's basically being maximized for its potential right now on farm. People have invested in their drying systems. It's reliable. It works when you need it. There was a misnomer in terms of how often we would have to be using dryers. And it's really just through that harvest season to make sure that the grain can be dried down so where it can be stored and still be usable in terms of our food supply. So we look at it from different angles, but however you slice it, it's money coming out of the farm gate. It's less money to be invested into your own farm or to be used in the economy. And we just look at, because there aren't alternatives out there that could readily be, ramped up to actually work on farm right now, is even give us a runway. We're willing to work on the innovation side and see what those other opportunities are. But without there being a real answer in place right now, it's hard to justify on the farm end because it looks just like an additional tax that we're not getting anything back from.
Let's find out what the parties had to say. We asked them, the carbon price is felt by farmers both directly and indirectly. Does your party recognize the lack of alternatives to grain drying in Ontario? And as a follow-up, will your party provide both relief from the carbon price and the return of indirect costs collected to grain farmers until alternatives are made available? See what they had to say.
Well, I think that we recognize that any regulatory changes that we implement environmentally or otherwise must be equitable. We firmly believe that through sincere collaboration with our agricultural sector stakeholders, we will be able to help farmers reduce the cost of doing business and adopt technologies that include productivity and energy efficiency.
And Bob, when we look at this, will your party provide both relief from the carbon price and return of the indirect costs that are being collected on grain farmers until some of these alternative sources of fuel to do grain drying are made available?
I think it would be a good idea. We're using dryers and we're using fuel in those dryers, and it is for human, a lot of it is for human consumption, whether it goes to animal feed or whatever. And I think that something like that should be possibly eliminated for human consumption.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our plans around carbon pricing would be to actually take over the federal carbon price so Ontario has more control over the implementation of it. And we would continue the rebates back to individuals for individual contributions to that carbon pricing to help them manage the transition. But when it comes to the money collected from farms and small businesses, we would set that off in a separate account to provide funding back to farmers and small businesses to be able to make the investments they need and to have the research, innovation, and price cost supports for them to invest in technology that would enable them to, one, lower their exposure to carbon pricing, but more importantly, shift to other energy sources that are emission free, so we can help them save money and be more competitive while at the same time reducing the amount of climate pollution that we have coming from the food and farming sector.
Yeah, and there's a number of companies that are working on alternative ways to dry grain that
exactly.
Will be, I think, beneficial in the long term. Is your party going to provide relief from the carbon price and the return of the indirect costs to grain farmers until some of these alternatives are made available in the long term?
Yeah, I think, one, by having the province take over control of the carbon pricing regime, we then would have the funding to be able to rebate some money back to farmers to help them cover the costs, recognizing that right now grain drying is a significant expense and there's not a lot of alternatives. but also to make the investments in supporting the research and innovation in those alternatives. So we can help farmers to fuel switch when the opportunity presents itself, which would lower costs and lower emissions at the same time.
Okay. Well, first of all, I can tell you that it's the PC Party of Ontario that has actively demonstrated that we understand the need for alternatives when it comes to grain drying. And I applaud my neighbor to the north, Bill Walker, when he was Associate Minister of Energy. He worked diligently to ensure natural gas expansion was happening throughout rural Ontario, because we needed to bring an alternate choice in terms of drying grains out to the side roads and to our concessions throughout Ontario. And again, we're the party that is getting it done. We got it done in some areas of Ontario, and we're going to continue to get it done throughout this province. And, you know, I share with you the fact that we, the PC Party of Ontario, get it. And, you know, just this past week, my neighbor, my colleague in Huron Bruce, Member of Parliament Ben Lobb, was successful in getting his private member's bill through C-234. But what concerned me, and I spoke to him about it, was the vote result. Do you know there was over 140 people that voted against his bill? And that's concerning to me. That tells me there are other parties that still don't care, or they just don't understand how important it is to have that alternative to affordable drying costs. Because Ontario farmers, they need every opportunity to be competitive. And the PC Party of Ontario gets that. And that's why we need to do everything we can to enable our grain farmers to keep costs of not only production, but costs of drying the harvest as well in a reasonable sphere. And it worries me where the federal Liberal government is going with their carbon tax. And it's the PC Party of Ontario that is trying to bring down costs. For instance, as of July 1st, we're committed to bringing down the costs of gasoline and fuel by over 5 cents a liter. And no other party is talking about that right now. And so there's still more work to be done. But I can tell you, we appreciate that we need to keep the cost of production and harvest down. And we're going to keep talking and ensure that everything's being done to keep our Ontario farmers competitive, and most importantly, keep our costs of production low, so that we can step forward with confidence that people can have, ultimately, at the end of the day, affordable food right here, close to home in Ontario.
I'm going to just say a couple of things, and then I'm going to let it go back to John. But one of the things that we identified when we put together our own Green New Democratic Deal, we call it, it's our own system for here in Ontario. As you know, the current government prefers to go with the federal carbon backstop. We believe that we can do more positive things, and we can create a system in our province that will help exactly address these kinds of issues. What we are planning on with our Green New Democratic Deal includes a number of pieces, but one of the principles that our deal is that our plan is based upon is acknowledging that not all industries and not all regions are going to be impacted in the same way as we try to decarbon our economy. And it builds in commitments around working with and transitioning various players, various industries, various communities, so that no community, no industry, including agriculture, and nobody is left behind in terms of workers. And so it's absolutely a plan that has every intention of working with folks to get to where we need to go, but in a way that keeps people from being negatively impacted. So sometimes that transition is going to take a little longer. It's going to require different kinds of supports, and that's exactly what we're committed to, because at the end of the day, we want to be as successful as possible in decarbonizing the economy while keeping our farms thriving, while keeping our people at work, while keeping our communities whole.
So to add to that, I'd like to read, I don't often quote stuff, but I'd like to read something from the Green New Democratic Deal. And it's, so to convert, invest a share of cap and trade revenue in technology to help trade exposed industries to compete and adopt. Now, I don't think there's a better example than what grain farmers have done a very good job of showing us is grain drying. You have to compete with other sectors in other countries. And so that we have recognized that, and we will work with the industry to try and come up with something that that is acceptable to farmers while still lowering our overall carbon output.
So, John, will the NDP provide both relief from the carbon price and the return of some of those indirect costs collected on grain farmers until alternatives are made available?
That is something. So we are going to, we are not going to use the federal. So the reason that we have a carbon tax is because the Ford government decided to dump the cap and trade system, which had its flaws, but we would have had we have a different system proposed, different cap and trade, but we are now stuck with the carbon tax because the Ford government decided to dump cap and trade and then tried to stop the government, the federal government, from employing the carbon tax. So if we put forward a cap and trade system that recognizes some of the issues that industries have to face, like agriculture with grain drying, and recognizes that, then we will not have to be saddled by the carbon tax.
We're now going to move into the fourth section, which is all about grain-based renewable fuels. Brennan, this is one that I know is very, very important to the grain farmers of Ontario.
Yeah, well, we've got a very strong, robust ethanol industry in Ontario, and we look at the price at the pumps where we're approaching $2 today for a liter, and we're looking at how could we have a win-win for both the government, the farm side, as well as people across the country or the province. And in terms of what we look at is if we're already looking at 2030 as a timeline to escalate and put more ethanol into the system, that E15, and by doing that, like, you could have cheaper fuel, lower emissions, and you kind of accelerate and work within that clean fuels regulation. And I think that at the end of the day, if you can save, say, 5 or 10 cents a liter by putting ethanol in at a time when fuel costs are at such a high rate, it can really help the economy in Ontario, kind of across the board. Everybody's seeing those costs going up, but then it also helps on the farm side because more corn's being used. But at the same time, that byproduct for animal side is still there for them to use. And I know we had some short supplies even a few months ago that way.
Yeah, so much focus on price at the pump right now. You know, E10 cheaper than fuel that has no ethanol, and E15 gets even cheaper than E10.
Yeah, and that's what we were looking at, was that it was about 10 cents a gallon cheaper E15 compared to E10. And then at the same time, so you're saving at the pump, and that's a direct savings that somebody goes up to fill up their vehicle, they see right on the spot. So I think that in the current economy and the way that things are going with an inflation, it only makes sense to kind of speed up that plan that we already have in place for E15. Why wait till 2030 when we could do something now and kind of help people across the board?
And the other part of this, it whether it's provincial or federal, provincial and federal governments are looking at ways to fight climate change. And honestly, biofuels fit into that solution as well.
Yeah. And that's what, like, we look at when they're trying to find solutions. And we look to Ontario and we say, well, we came up with one here with the ethanol industry. And it's a very, I guess, the big example of a success story that comes out of a crop, because it became very robust in the industry. It helped the farm side, also helped at the pumps. And I think that when we're looking through some of these environmental pieces, we're looking for solutions at times, like we talked about, that maybe don't exist on grain drying, but then we're not amplifying some of the ones that do exist. And I think this is the chance to do that And I think that we're well on our way to proving that E15 would work really well in Ontario. So why wait till 2030?
So here's what we asked the parties. U.S. President Biden says ethanol supports farmers, creates good-paying jobs, reduces a reliance on foreign oil, gives you a choice at the pump. In addition to all that, you get less harm to the environment, lower greenhouse gas emissions. And so then, based on that, what we heard from U.S. President Biden, we asked the parties, does your party recognize the low carbon value of corn ethanol and soy biodiesel and the role it can play in energy security through these turbulent world times?
Well, when you put, I think Brandon said it was 2023 is when it was going to possibly be changed for more ethanol. I would have to say I don't see why it can't be changed now with the price of crude and gasoline. It certainly wouldn't hurt to put it ahead and get it changed now.
Yeah, well, why do you think that acceleration for the renewable content requirements? Why do you think that is so critical when we look at the cleaner transportation fuels regulation? Why do you believe that is possible?
Well, I'm a firm believer that anything's possible. All you have to do is present your case, and if we have enough people, and again, if we have the right people in the House that are standing up for this issue, and start pressing it, and it will change, and it's pretty well that simple. And I'm that person to do it. We need to be supporting agriculture. This is a support for agriculture when it comes down to using corn and going to ethanol. It is nothing but a support for agriculture, and that is fantastic. We need that. We need to keep farmers on. I always say to keep farmers on the land, they've got to have good sales with good prices, and so that they can make a living and keep their inventory good and keep their equipment good. And so it's basically a no-brainer. If you can put this ahead, let's do it. And like I said, I feel I'm the person to do it.
Simple answer is yes. yes, definitely. And I think there's a couple of pieces to it, right? I mean, it's not only acknowledging how far we've come and we've done some good work and you've done some good work in this regard, but that there's room to do more. And I think that's the most important piece, is that we continue to push forward, that we work side by each, that we work hand in glove, and make sure we're doing everything we can to increase the amount of ethanol and the ways that we create that ethanol and just continue to expand. That's where I'm coming from. That's what I believe is what we need to do. And I don't know if John has any specifics or details, but certainly you had us at ethanol.
Hey, so that's good. I like that. John, I'm going to ask you sort of for a point of clarity here, and so I get it. Will the NDP accelerate the renewable content requirements timeline outlined in the cleaner transportation fuels regulation?
So what we are going to do is work with all stakeholders in the industry, the fuel sector, Grain Farmers of Ontario, and others, to make sure that the guidelines and the timelines make sense for the times that we are facing now. One thing I'd like to clarify about, there is a debate about, a food production or ethanol production. And actually, as long as we focus on renewable fuels, we also know that ethanol production also produces food for animals. So it's not a strict food or fuel debate, but we need to all work together to make, we are facing unprecedented times and we need to make decisions based on those times.
Yeah, the PC Party of Ontario absolutely values the role that grain-based renewable fuels can provide throughout this province. And, I think we're leading by example because it's the PC Party of Ontario that has already taken steps to increase the use of grains and soy. I think it was in 2020 when the Minister of Environment and Climate and Conservation actually passed a regulation to increase the amount of renewable content in regular grade gasoline. And so to that end, I want to, first of all, give kudos to our Minister of Environment at the time for recognizing the importance of it. And through that alone, in terms of our approach to recognizing the value of grain-based renewable fuels, we're gradually phasing in the renewable content from 10% to 11% in 2025, 13% in 2028, and 15% in 2030. And I know that Grain Farmers of Ontario would like to see that happen sooner, but I would like to share with you that let's keep talking. And I can tell you that we have an open ear, but it is the PC Party of Ontario that has demonstrated the value that we see already in grain-based renewable fuels.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a role for biodiesel for sure. And also huge opportunities for green hydrogen as well in Ontario to help reduce fuel costs for all drivers, including and especially on farm, but also to create economic opportunities for farmers and new revenue streams for farmers as well. So I think there's huge opportunities not only in biofuels, but also, as I mentioned earlier, in bioproducts and replacing fossil fuel inputs with made in Ontario bio on farm inputs as well. So we can create new low carbon revenue streams for farmers, and we can on the expense side help reduce expenses as well through use of biodiesel, and also looking at the opportunities that exist with electrification as well, and ensuring that farmers can afford electrified pickup trucks, for example, and other vehicles, which have significantly lower fuel costs. And as we create solutions for people that, one, crush climate pollution, and two, address the real affordability challenges that farmers and others are facing, especially when it comes to fuel costs.
So in this transition to electrification of vehicles, will your party accelerate the renewable content requirements timeline outlined in the Cleaner Transportation Fuels Regulation?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to accelerate that timeline, as well as, I would argue, accelerate support for biofuels, green hydrogen, and electrification of transportation.
As a follow-up, will your party accelerate the renewable content requirements timeline outlined in the Cleaner Transportation Fuels Regulation? And how do you see biofuels playing a role in the fight against climate change?
Oh, I think an ever-increasing role. I think that goes without saying. I can't believe that there is still some lack of understanding in government that we currently have about the climate crisis that is in front of us. And I think we have to be really concerted in our efforts. And that's why we put together the Green New Democratic Deal the way that we did. And people can go and look at it. It's on our website, OntarioNDP.ca. And I encourage people to have a look at it and to provide feedback and input. We've been through a significant consultation on that document, but it's a living document. And when we have literally towns burning to the ground in British Columbia, we have tornadoes and flooding in Ottawa, wildfires that are starting earlier and earlier every year in Northern Ontario, we have some real serious work to do, and we have to do that work as quickly as possible. And so we cannot sit on our laurels, and we just have to keep pushing forward with every possible way we can to reduce the carbon in our atmosphere.
Well, it definitely is a better fuel for cleanliness and emissions. So I think that, again, is why wouldn't we be using it if that's what it's doing?
Yeah, I think the primary role biofuels play is in fuel switching for diesel engines. So we need an all hands on deck approach right now because we have to significantly reduce climate pollution, essentially cut it in half by 2030 and be real net zero by 2045. If we have any hope of having a stable climate and reaching our obligations around 1.5 degree Celsius increase in global temperatures. And so biofuels are going to play a role in that. There is no doubt about it. And Ontario farmers are going to play a vital role in helping deliver those solutions.
The lead into this question, you know, you were quoting President Biden and how he saw that grain-based renewable fuels can really make a difference. We need to be embracing every opportunity we can to reduce carbon. And time and again, Ontario farmers lead by example in this regard, from their clearly just their stewardship practices on the land through to the opportunities for grain-based renewable fuels. And I do recognize that it's another opportunity and another tool, if you will, to reduce carbon. And we need to be embracing all of that. And quite frankly, in chatting with you about this today, I recognize that we also need to be doing our part in increasing awareness of the value of grain-based renewable fuels as well. And I will take that back to my colleagues. And I commit to you that we will do our best to ensure that awareness and understanding of the value of grain-based renewable fuels is achieved as well. And we'll work with Grain Farmers of Ontario on a plan forward to do just that.
Let's move to GFO priority number 5. It's all about research, more specifically trying to create a real hub of research at the Bridgetown campus for the University of Guelph. Brennan, this is one that just it seems to fit into the, you know, as a piece in the puzzle. Research is so critical for the future years of agriculture.
Yeah, and I think that's where we looked at with this priority is what investment could be made today that solidifies the industry for years to come. And when we look at the, say, the Ridgetown campus, we've had some discussions internally and even with some politicians where it was kind of like, wouldn't it be real cool to have like the Silicon Valley of agriculture here in Ontario? So have a center of excellence that you can find new innovation. You can bring in world-class people that want to come and live and work in Ontario because they see that the future of farming is strong. The future of Ontario is strong because they see that investment that's going into the sector. And I think it would spur on a lot of innovation. And I think in general, you would see that some of that stuff that we maybe look elsewhere to try to bring in technologies into Ontario, maybe we spur some of them on here at home where we could export that technology to other areas. And I think the spin-off jobs that can be created, we see it in the automotive sector or some other areas where some money's invested. And all of a sudden, the additional pieces that kind of come into play around that initial investment really amplify those dollars and go a long way for local economies as well as for the province.
Now, when you say technology, are you just talking about tech or are you also talking about things like agronomics?
I think it's across the board. I think there's that precision ag that can be used. I think there's some pieces like when we talk about grain drying, if there was some way to have somebody, you know what, I'm going to really dig in on this and see what's possible, as well as stuff that we probably haven't even thought about here. Just if you have those dollars put in. And when we say that Silicon Valley, it's not tongue in cheek. It's a real thing because I look at where potentially, say, we have our phones and BlackBerry would have been that Silicon Valley here in Ontario. And it got kind of slipped through. And now we saw that it was created elsewhere. And I think on the ag side, we just look and we say some of those investment dollars, we don't want to see them leave the province. We want to actually bring in more investment elsewhere to match the government and kind of spur on new technologies and new innovation, kind of keep the sector robust for years to come.
So when we talked to the parties, here's what we asked them. Research is our biggest tool to tackle the complex changes of our political climate. Now more than ever, we need to prioritize maximizing food production. Will your party commit to building a world-class research facility at Ridgetown campus to tackle pressing grain issues like food security and climate change?
Yeah, well, I'd say for being the MPP for Guelph and a strong supporter of the University of Guelph and obviously the Ridgetown campus, absolutely. I think there's huge opportunities in climate smart agriculture. And we know that farmers are on the front lines of the challenges of the climate crisis and how that's affecting planting cycles and crop yields. But we also know that farmers are on the front lines of delivering solutions to the climate crisis as well. And we need to make sure that we have the research and the innovation happening in the farm sector to, you know, help farmers succeed in the new climate reality and in the new climate economy. And in addition to support at Ridgetown, I think really providing more support for things like the Bioproducts Institute at the University of Guelph, looking at ways that, you know, we can replace fossil fuel inputs, particularly in plastics, to bioproducts and farm inputs to create new revenue streams and economic opportunities for farmers and reduce the carbon input into manufacturing processes, plastics in particular. I think there's huge opportunities. Better and more research into precision agriculture so we can help farmers reduce their input costs and minimize environmental impacts and benefit their bottom line. I think are all vital to ensuring that one, family farms remain profitable and viable, and two, can deliver the kinds of solutions we need to crush climate pollution and be successful in the new climate economy.
It one of the challenges is it's long term, right? And we're trying to deal with some of these issues in the very, very short term when you think about food security and the fight against mm-hmm. climate change. But that investment in research really is that long term play. Do you think the broader audience across Ontario understands connecting those dots on research to long term solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say especially here in my riding, but you obviously have a lot of the people who are investing in that innovation and leading that innovation in the food and farming sector are based here in Guelph. But when I talk to people across the province, I think they recognize the huge opportunities that exist in doing things more efficiently. I think more and more people are starting to understand the huge opportunities in precision agriculture. I think there's a strong movement in Ontario right now, especially to protect prime farmland. You know, we're losing 175 acres of farmland every day, which is completely unsustainable. It threatens our food security, it threatens our economy, and there's a strong movement among people here in Ontario to make sure that we protect that farmland and understand the value from a food security standpoint, but also from an economic standpoint, to ensure that we have a strong local food and farming sector.
Well, I can tell you that I'm at the head of the pack when I say I want to see Ontario being absolutely the leading jurisdiction for the advancement of our agricultural sector, our agriculture and food industry. And a PC government absolutely stands by the need to advance research and innovation to keep Ontario farmers at leading in terms of technology and innovation. Not only are they going to be outstanding in their fields, but they're going to be outstanding in terms of what we're going to be generating. And again, take a look at what the PC party is already doing and what our leader, Doug Ford, and our entire government has already proven in terms of our support for research. You know, the facilities in Elora are growing. And I just think by natural extension, that impact and the value of the research that leads to innovation in Elora can be absolutely complemented by what we're doing in Ridgetown. You know, Parliamentary Assistant Randy Petipiece was never so proud than being at his alma mater in Ridgetown and sharing our investment commitment just a couple of years ago. And I can tell you that if reelected, we will introduce a new Agricultural Research and Innovation Institute of Ontario Act to replace the outdated ARIO Act. And the goal in doing that is to ensure that we have legislation that is relevant to the context of today's modern agricultural innovation and research environment. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that our commitment is to ensure that moving forward, be it in Elora or in Ridgetown or at the Huron Research Station, as an example, to name one of many, I can tell you that in working with the University of Guelph, we are going to do everything we can to demonstrate smart investment that help grain farmers of Ontario, the grains and oilseed farmers throughout this province, that not only do we have a desire, but we have the means to ensure that Ontario is going to be the leading jurisdiction when it comes to technology and innovation. And I have to share with you that I'm excited by it. And again, my proof point is what we're achieving in Elora. And I recognize there's more to do. And it's the PC Party of Ontario that will get it done.
Well, we are definitely committed to preparing our students for various careers and opportunities, including farming, food processing, agricultural business, and definitely research and development. There's no doubt that research and development bring dollars back into the farming community. We will also invest in, like I just said, in research and innovation for post-secondary institutions across the province that help us improve food security, promote sustainable farming, develop climate-resistant crops. And I, like I already said earlier on, that I feel that education is definitely the key to our success.
It's absolutely something that we are interested in partnering with you to achieve. It's something that we would need to be working very closely with your organization and others to make sure that we get it right. But absolutely. And I have to say, I was shocked and I found it quite appalling that the current government, the Ford government, cut funding to initiatives at Guelph. And that's just backwards. I mean, exactly what we need to be doing now is the kind of research that you're talking about that can be undertaken at Ridgeway. And I know that I think there's an expression around it being the Silicon Valley of the grain industry. And I think that that's a good an important way to look at it. Let's make those investments. Let's expand the research. Then we can expand the capacity and continue to grow the industry. John?
So research is very near and dear to my heart as a former farmer. For those who may not know, we almost lost our research station in New Liskeard due to cuts. And farmers banded together, and University of Guelph changed their mind. And because regional research, Northern Ontario is very much different than Ridgetown, but a center of excellence for grain would be very important. And exactly for one of the issues that's going to come up. So grain drying is a touchy issue. And you know what? That's something that we could look at to see how we can do that as efficiently as possible. And so farmers don't have to try and figure that on their own. We could actually work together to find ways to do that more efficiently. And that would be one goal of that center of excellence.
And we move into our final priority, which is all about investing in grains and oilseed processing. Now, Brennan, there's the commodity end of this, you know, getting domestic processing, obviously moving up the value chain instead of just exporting the raw commodity all the time. But another piece of this as well is jobs. This is about jobs in Ontario and increasing them.
Yeah, I think that this is one where it might solidify the farm side, but it also would be amplified by the number of jobs that it can create. So when you look at it on the farm end, even that investment would continue to help, where we've got $18 billion in economic output that comes from the ag side, grain farming specifically, and responsible for 75,000 jobs currently. So an investment in that not only keeps the farm side competitive, but spurs on job creation elsewhere. It grows the grain sector. And by having the government put some money in, I think like we talked before, you're going to have others look to put money in as well around that investment to try to amplify it. And I think that there's a wide variety of uses here. We've seen it in plastics and crayons and different things like that pop up that you say, okay, the oil here can be used for something else. And I see it as the way that we did that with the ethanol manufacturing in Ontario is something that can be done again. We've got that blueprint. So let's put some money into some dollars and processing side and create the next big thing for Ontario. And that job creation that you'll see in local economies won't just be on the farm side, like you say. There'll be a lot of different spur-off jobs that work there as well.
And the more diversity in that processing, the more of a pull we're getting from the farm on those commodities. So it really, really doesn't make sense for farmers across Ontario.
Yeah, you have that synergy and that relationship where the farmer knows, okay, I've got a market for these soybeans. I have them going into the processing plant, or the processing side says, you know what, we don't have to truck things in from too far. We don't have to look elsewhere for supply. We know that Ontario will be able to provide us with our needs and keep that industry going.
Let's find out what the parties had to say. We asked them, will your party commit to strengthening Ontario's economy by investing in grain and oilseed value-added processing? And if so, what kinds of projects would you like to see built and why?
Well, I was saying it a little bit earlier about my own community and my own riding, where we have some of that processing happening with Bungie, and they do a great job, and they provide a lot of jobs for people. And so this is yet another thing that we've often talked about, is that it's not just a matter of growing the products here, whether it's seeds, or whether it's oil seeds, or whether it's trees for that matter. We have to be doing the processing here in Ontario and changing the products from their raw material to a finished product or an input product for a further product. That's how you maximize the benefit of the wonderful products that you grow and the wonderful opportunities that that farmers bring to broadening out the impact of agriculture on our communities and so on our economy. So I don't know if John has anything further to say, but we really do have so many skilled workers. We have so many folks that are innovative, so many innovators, and so much opportunity in manufacturing as well, and food manufacturing particularly. But when it comes to things like oilseeds and the ability to do more, you're speaking our language. People deserve good jobs that pay the bills, and those kinds of jobs come with exactly the kinds of processing that you're talking about.
Yeah, we can grow the best grains and oil seeds in the world. Anything that we can do to further process them, yeah, we are on your side.
Yeah. Absolutely, we are indeed committed to supporting farmers in agribusinesses, expanding production capacities, purchase new tools that are energy efficient and advance higher productivity. Reskill or upskill our workers, enhance value-added activities, and increase foreign exports. We know that foreign exports are definitely nothing but good for our industry, whether it be grains or beef or whatever.
In one word, absolutely, we're going to invest in realizing value-added processing for grains and oilseeds right here in Ontario. For those of you who know me, I have long lamented the fact that we ship our raw commodities off to other jurisdictions around the world and bring back added value products. And I've long said, why can't we do that right here in Ontario? Well, I would dare suggest it's because the climate was never set by previous governments. But in the PC Party of Ontario recognizes the opportunities that lie ahead of us. And with the leadership of Doug Ford, we're bringing back manufacturing and we're bringing back processing and a commitment to see a successful environment and climate created to attract proper investment as well. And in that spirit, that's why I'm just over the moon to have Doug Ford and the PC Party support when I came forward asking for a strategic processing fund. Because again, as I said before, I see so many opportunities to add value right here at home, and it helps bring down the cost of transportation and reduces the use of carbon fuels as well if we start processing closer to the farmer. And I share that with you because, you know, there's three key things that are driving inflation up right now. And one being housing, but more importantly, and applicable to what we're talking about today, it's the cost of transportation and the cost of gas, cost of fuel. And so, you know, if we can bring more processing back to Ontario, just think about how we can help make not only our sector more competitive, But we can do everything we can to help Ontarians realize fair prices when it comes to buying good quality food close to home.
Absolutely. I've been a longtime supporter of making sure that we strengthen our local value chains and supply chains. Unfortunately, Ontario has lost some of its small and medium-sized processing capacity, and we need to have investment to ensure that we have processing capacity to support local food security and local self-sufficiency. I think the disruption in international supply chains during the pandemic and now with this like senseless and unfortunate Putin invasion of Ukraine has really highlighted the need and the necessity to invest in food security and food self-sufficiency, and processing capacity plays a vital role in that regard. And I think we also need to be looking at, you know, things like a grocery code of conduct, for example, that other countries, particularly the UK, are bringing forward to help ensure that we have a fair marketplace, especially for primary producers and small and medium-sized processors. And those are things that the Ontario Greens will continue, we have pushed for in the past, we'll continue to push for moving forward, because we need to make sure we strengthen those local supply chains and that we have more food security in Ontario.
What are some of the types of projects that you think would be a really good idea for to be explored going forward?
Okay, so let's turn that around. I would be asking Brandon what he needed with Grain Farmers of Ontario. I'd be asking Beef Farmers of Ontario, what do they need to up production? I think that comes there. I already said that as far as I'm concerned, the association, in other words, Grain Farmers of Ontario, they're the ones that know their business. They're experts at their business. They do really well at their business. They know what they're doing, and they have a good bunch of followers. And it's exactly the same with the grape growers. It's the same with Beef Farmers of Ontario. And we can keep on going. So really, anything that should come out of this is should come out of their offices as what they need.
We introduced a $22 million AgriTech Innovation Program. And we have supported, through that program, 170 projects across this province that are embracing innovation and new technologies to realize value add throughout our entire sector supply chain. And complementing that is our $25 million strategic processing fund that I alluded to earlier. And you know, the response to that particular program has been absolutely overwhelming. And it's a proof point that if a government sets the right climate and provides a little bit of seed money, and we promote the opportunities that lie ahead of us with our grains and oil seeds and all commodities in this province, there are people willing to invest. And I just can't wait to see that program move forward. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we're going to be doing. I'd like to, you know, put an exclamation point behind these two programs by saying we're also going to be investing $20 million to support food security and supply chain stability with a strong strategy that's going to be informed by Grain Farmers of Ontario and our other commodity organizations and general farm groups. You know, I look forward to harnessing the potential that we have in Ontario's agri-food sector by working hand in hand with Ontario farmers. I am so proud of what Grain Farmers of Ontario do in collaboration with our other commodities. And I know that there's a will and an absolute desire to grow innovation and research like we have done in Elora, like we need to do and continue to do at Ridgetown. And that is through strong partnerships with partners like the University of Guelph. And I just say, watch out. Ontario is going to be the jurisdiction that I know the chair of Grain Farmers of Ontario wants it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think having government partner with the private sector is vitally important. And I think there's huge opportunities in grains and oil seeds in particular. The oils seeds market is a strong one. I think there's huge opportunities in artisan distillery and opening up the marketplace to support like local and artisan distillers using Ontario grain. And in the same way that we've celebrated VQA wines, why don't we be celebrating, you know, all made in Ontario spirits as well? I think there's obviously opportunities in cereal markets and processing of locally made grains into consumer products, as well as within obviously livestock supply chains as well. And so, you know, in some cases, it's just making sure that government's there as a partner. I think there's huge opportunities in public procurement as well. I've been a longtime supporter of the government making a commitment in line with our international trade agreements, of course, to ensure that public institutions across the province are buying local and supporting both primary producers and processors as well, to make sure that, you know, we have a strong market to attract investment, particularly in the processing sector.
I think in on that issue, I think we have to work with Grain Farmers of Ontario and all the stakeholders. I don't think anybody's going to trust a politician to come up with a good idea. But but having said that, you know, it's our job. It's our job to talk to the people who live it, right? So talk to the people who are processing now. Find out what their roadblocks are. You know, and I know coming from the north, we see grain truck after grain truck after grain truck going to places like Hamilton, and we're happy to do that. But we always wonder, why couldn't we make oatmeal bars in northern Ontario, northern oatmeal bars, and sell them across Canada or the world? So, you know, there are things we need to look at. We need to talk to the people who do it, what the roadblocks are, and how can we remove those roadblocks.
Well, Brendan, that's a quick run through the six election priorities that the Grain Farmers of Ontario have set out. Really, for a lot of the members across Ontario that are watching this video, what are some of the things as they try to consider what they've heard here today that they really should be doing?
Well, I think we tried to get these out early because we know it's a busy time of year for farmers. So I guess what we're trying to amplify is, if you're out and about in your tractor and you're thinking through this election, is you can take a look at our website, gfo.ca, would have the election priorities all listed there. But then also, if you do have the opportunity to meet with your local candidates, or there happens to be a meeting where they're discussing ag issues, is maybe bring some of these in your local region forward and see what the response is, so that by the time you go to vote in June, you've got an informed decision as to who you think will be best representative for your area.
And don't fall, you know, I think this just goes without saying, don't fall into the trap of, you know, June 2nd, election day, everyone's busy, there's lots happening on the farm. You know, make sure the farm voice is heard by voting.
Yeah, I think it's important in any election to make sure that the priorities are there for the industry that you're in, and to have that right to go to the polls here is something we shouldn't take lightly. So you want to see what people are commenting on the farm side in your area, how much they know about it. Maybe you can educate them a little bit and say, here's a couple priorities that you maybe didn't think of or see with some of these asks. And then when you do go to the poll, you're kind of armed with that information to make your decision.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the six priorities that we talked about today, there's things on the revenue side, you know, creating demand. There's also things on, obviously, the cost side. It's really about making sure going forward that Ontario has a very healthy agricultural sector.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing when we're looking at these priorities, is how do you make this sector as robust as possible, but also spur off some other job creation innovation in the process. So it's not just us asking for priorities that would solely help on the farm. They're priorities that would help in several communities or several different sectors. So we look at it that way, and we hope that people will take a look. Hopefully they'll get a chance to listen to this, take a look at the priorities, and by the time they go to the poll, they've got a better idea of who they're going to vote for.
Well, in Ontario, as the economy looks to really get rolling post-COVID-19 pandemic. You know, a lot of times there's so much focus on something like the auto industry, for example, but agriculture is also one of those industries that is really kept really humming and ticking through the pandemic, and it will do so post-pandemic as well. It provides a lot of opportunity for the Ontario economy going forward.
Yeah, and we did kind of message that with some of the I guess, politicians we spoke to or potential politicians, is that farmers kind of put their head down and just went to work during the pandemic. So we often worked on our own anyway. We just kept going to make sure that the food sovereignty was taken care of, food security for not only Ontario and Canada, but also other places in the world. And I think that at the time, we just saw it as this is what we do. And I think now we're looking to say, hey, my kid looks like they would like to do something in ag. What kind of investments could be made today to make sure there's a bright future for anybody that wants to be part of this industry?
Yeah, so make sure if you do go to one of your local debates or talk to any of the candidates from the different parties in your constituency, you know, ask them some of these questions that we talked about here today. They're important to the Grain Farmers of Ontario, which means they're important to you as well. Challenge the candidates on these topics and these questions, and make sure you get some answers. And if, like Brandon said, go to the GFO's website, gfo.ca. Hey, Brandon, thank you so much for doing this with us here today at Real Agriculture. All the best to you during planting and the 2022 cropping season.
Thank you, and all the best to yourself and anybody that is watching or listening here as well.